Today we're continuing in our series. The series has been Resilient, How God Helps or God Builds Overcomers, right? We need resilience in our lives. You know, there's times that, you know, life just comes, the storms of life hits us, and we need resilience, especially in those moments where we're uncertain about where we're going or what we're doing. And resilience is the ability to bounce back, to continue to move forward in spite of all the things we're facing. Nobody experiences a perfect streak of success. No one experiences a perfect life. Everyone faces failures. Everyone faces mistakes. We all embarrass ourselves. We all make mistakes. We all endure pain. We all confront problems. We all face pressures. But people that succeed at life, I think, have this resilience inside of them. In fact, all through God's Word, you see story after story after story about people that have resilience in their walk with God. People that are hanging in there no matter what's going on, no matter what's happening in life, they're maintaining their faithfulness towards God. Abraham, Moses, Deborah, David, Paul, Ruth, especially Jesus, on and on you could go. I think almost every character in God's Word, you can look at that and see that defining quality of resilience within their lives. Over this last series we've been looking at, the last month or so, looking at the character of Joseph, one of my favorite characters in the Old Testament. Looking at the story of Joseph, there's so many lessons that we can learn, and he overcomes so many different things through the power of God. Through this series, we looked at how he overcame injustice in his life. How many have ever faced injustice? Only some of us. Okay. The rest of you are living a golden life. That's awesome. Right? Injustice happens to us all. Not maybe like Joseph, right? Joseph's brother, he was favored by his dad. He was given this nice fancy coat, and his brothers looked at him with jealousy, and eventually they sold him as a slave, right? That's what we read in God's Word, as what happened with Joseph. And then if things weren't bad enough, you know, then he overcame some temptation. You know, Potiphar's wife, who he ended up working for Potiphar, you know, and there he was. He was working away and being faithful to God, and this wife of Potiphar tried to seduce him, and he ended up running away, but there was lies told about him so that he was sent to prison. And then he overcame pride because God gifted him in so many beautiful ways in his life about being able to interpret dreams that God had given to people even around him. And so he was given this gift, but it wasn't something that brought up pride and arrogance in his life. He maintained humility even in the midst of the gifts that God has given him. And sometimes people fail at living with humility in their lives. And then he overcame bitterness when he was reunited with his brothers. His brothers ended up coming, you know, to get a food because a famine was widespread. And now Joseph's second in charge of all of Egypt. And his brothers come to get some food. And he looks at his brothers. They don't know who he was. And eventually, through a series of events, he showed them love and showed them forgiveness. And what a beautiful story that is. But today we're going to explore how God can give us trust. We need to continue to grow in trust of our God. Our God's worthy of our trust. Amen? Right? We need to trust in our God. Life can change in an instant. There might be moments in your life that you look back and you see how life can change at any moment. I remember in 2023, we were pastors in Pennsylvania, and, you know, things were going good. We were comfortable. The church was going well. You know, life was just so good. And then God started speaking into our hearts and saying, now's the time to make a change. Now's the time to make a transition. And we said, no, God, you know, we're comfortable. Things are going good. We don't need to go anywhere. You know, we've gained some momentum. Things are going well. And God said, no, now's the time to make a change, right? And so the voice of God brought some change into our lives, and we ended up here in the best place in earth, right? Parma, Ohio, right? Or this area. I know Parma might not be your home, but Strongsville or wherever it might be, right? But here we are, you know, and we just followed the plan that God had for us. Have you ever experienced when life suddenly changed in an instant? Maybe a phone call that was made, right? Maybe a diagnosis that was received. You know, maybe it was God speaking you and prompting your heart to make a change. Maybe it was losing a job. Maybe it was a betrayal by someone very close to you. It often feels like being outside on a clear, sunny day when all of a sudden the storm comes without warning. Have you ever been there? You know, that storm comes and all of a sudden you're not prepared for that storm. You don't have the umbrella with you. And then before you know it, you're soaking wet and like, oh man, what a mess I'm in right now. You're drenched, confused, asking where in the world did that come from? Life has a way of throwing us in the middle of storms that we never saw coming. And when it happens, trusting in God isn't just a nice idea. It becomes our lifeline. We must be people that trust in God no matter what. Are you a person that has grown in your relationship with God to a place where you trust in God no matter what you're going through? When let's be honest, trusting in God is hard when we don't know what God's doing, right? There's moments where like, God, I'm so confused. God, I have no idea what you're doing in the midst of this problem, in the midst of this moment, and you're so confused. And man, trusting in God can be a difficult thing in those moments. It's hard when the path doesn't seem to match our plans. We all make plans, and when things get off of the rails, we're like, God, what in the world is happening? Why is this happening in my life right now? It's hard when we feel like we're losing control. Anyone like to lose control? Anyone a control freak like me? Right? Yeah, we all want control in our lives, and the storms come, but it's when we're in those moments, when we're in those real moments, when real overcoming trust is born. It's in those moments where we say, God, I don't know what you're up to. It's those moments that trust is born in our lives, where it should draw us to a point where we say, God, no matter what, I'm going to trust you right now. Today I want to talk about that kind of trust that holds up in the midst of the chaos, that trust that holds firm in the middle of the storm, the kind that surrenders our understanding, that believes God is still on the throne and God is still guiding our steps, that knows even when life is hurting, even when life is uncertain, we serve a God that is working for His glory and for our good. That's the God we trust in today. If you've ever felt shaken or stuck or unsure of what God is doing, this message is for you this morning. First point I want to look at from God's word is that trust overcomes when we let go of our understanding. We all try to figure life out and figure that next step out or figure the problem out. We'll try to solve the issue that's going on. We all do that. I do that in my life. You know, when people around me are hurting, I just want to answer. I just want to bring a solution. Let me help you solve this problem right now in your life. You know, but there's moments that trust overcomes when we learn to let go of our own understanding. Let's read Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, probably verses that you have highlighted in your Bible already. If it's not, then highlight these verses in your Bible right now because they're powerful verses of God's Word. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. This passage highlights two main responsibilities: to rely on God with all of your heart. And so I challenge you today, rely on God with all of your heart and cultivate a love for Him that is so deep that will help you stand firm in the midst of the storm. By doing so, He assures us of His guidance. His role, our role, is to lean on Him and to learn from Him. And as we do, God will guide you. Lean on the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know that word trust, it means to lean with your whole body. How many remember being a kid and jumping on the bed? Anyone get in trouble jumping on the bed? Anyone ever get hurt jumping on the bed? Oh, some of us. I guess moms are right. I never knew anyone that got hurt jumping on the bed. I'm like, Mom, you're making it up. But okay, maybe not. Yeah, we all love to jump on the bed, right? Or maybe today, now as an adult, right? How many enjoy, after a tiring day, just going and laying down on the bed and being like, oh, thank God, here's my bed. You know that feeling? Right? It's like, okay, the day's over. Thank God. I made it through, Lord. You know, and here I am just snuggled up in bed, resting. You know, how many of you, when you went to bed last night, were concerned your bed was going to fall apart from underneath you? Anyone? If you do, we'll take up an offering for you to get a new bed, right? Because it's time. It's time to quit dragging your feet and buy that new bed, right? You know, but we don't. We trust. We put all of our weight on the bed, and we never think twice about, should I trust this bed tonight as I crawl into this bed? Or as a kid, you're jumping on the bed. You're like, can this bed hold me? Am I just going to trust that the bed's going to hold me as I jump up and down on the bed, right? You know, we trust, right? We put all of our weight on that bed, trusting that it's going to hold us up, and we don't think twice about it, typically speaking, right? And that's where we are in our relationship with God. We need to put all our weight in Him and say, God, I trust You no matter what. We don't even think twice about trusting our God because He is so faithful and so true. And He is the God of our lives that we worship and we trust no matter what. We're going to put all of our weight into Him. Why? Because He is a good God and a faithful God. Note that we're all called to totally trust Him and have full commitment into Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Sometimes we trust God in some situations of our lives, but don't trust God with all situations of our lives. And I challenge you today, no matter what you're facing, trust in God with all of your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. This is where I get messed up a lot of times in my life, because I figure it out for God. Anyone with me? Right? You figure out, here's my problem, God, here's the solution. Now, God, if You'd be so kind, do what I want You to do. And that sums up a lot of our prayer life, doesn't it? Here I am, God, here's my problem, God, here's my solution. Now, God, if You'd be so kind, do it. And then when God doesn't do what we want Him to do, we're like, God, why aren't You doing what I want You to do right now? You know, that's where trust is born, I think, in a lot of ways, because we learn from that in our immaturity and continue to grow in our relationship with God. God's not a magic genie, right, that does everything we want Him to do. God is the God of the universe, the God that's on the throne. He is Almighty God, and He is powerful to do anything, but He doesn't always do exactly what we want Him to do, and that's where we need to not rely on our own understanding, but trust in God no matter what. We cry out to God. We say, God, here's the problem that we're facing. God, give me wisdom on how to walk through this. You know, and that's the heart that we cry out to our Heavenly Father, and God does respond in many ways in supernatural things that God does as we continue to trust in Him. But a challenge here is don't depend on your own understanding. Learn from God. Seek His will in all you do. In everything you do right now, everything you do in your life, we're called to seek the Lord. Seek Him. It's a command. That means that everything you do, in every detail of your life, the word seek emphasizes intimate communion with God. We might translate it, in everything you do, ensure you know the Lord personally. Ensure that you know the Lord personally and are talking to Him about everything that's going on in your world. When we release our need to figure everything out and lean fully on God's wisdom, He gives us the kind of trust that overcomes our confusion, our fear, and our doubt. That's the God that we serve. He helps us, but we must stop trying to figure it all out and lean on Him and say, God, I give it to You. God, You're in charge right now in my world. And guess what? The promise of that verse is that He will lead us. He will guide us in the midst of our confusion, in the midst of our uncertainty. He will guide us. Our duty is to lean on Him and to learn. The final part of verse 6 states that the Lord will then guide us, and He will show you which paths to take, right? He will guide us in our lives when life doesn't make sense, when you're confused. I challenge you, trust in God with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him is what one translation says, and He will make your path straight, right? We need to trust in God with all of our hearts, and we need to not try to figure everything out, but continue to follow after Him and submit to Him in every detail of our lives. The second point we're going to look at today is trust overcomes when we believe God is directing our steps. We don't need to try to figure him out. And guess what? He is guiding our steps. Our God is the God of the details. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows what's happening, and you need to trust in him no matter what is happening in your world. We learn that from this story of Joseph. Genesis 45, 4 through 15, and we'll skip a couple of verses in that, but it says this: "Please come closer." This is Joseph talking to his brothers, now revealing himself to them, saying, "I'm Joseph, I'm your brother, I'm the one you sold into slavery all those years ago." And he says, "Please come closer," he said to them, so they came closer. And he said again, "I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold in slavery in Egypt. But don't be upset and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. This famine that has ravaged our land for 2 years will last 5 more years, and there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God has sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive and to preserve many survivors. So it was God who sent me here, not you. And he is the one who made me the advisor to Pharaoh, to manage his entire palace and to govern all of Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and tell him this is what your son Joseph says: God has made me master over the land of Egypt. So come down to me immediately." Skipping to 14, it says this: "Weeping with joy, he embraced Benjamin, and Benjamin did the same. Then Joseph kissed each of his brothers, wept over them, and after they began talking freely with him." What a story, right? But there's three times in that passage it was highlighted that, guys, you sold me as a slave, but it wasn't you that sent me here. It was completely God's plan for my life. Isn't that beautiful? That even in the midst of the hurt that he went through, I'm sure that was painful. I've never been sold as a slave by my brother or by my sisters, thank God, right? But I'm sure that that was a painful experience in that young man's life. He's saying, "I'm just trying to maintain my integrity. I'm trying to be faithful to my God." And there he was in the midst of all of that, and they sold him as a slave. And now here he is, I think it's 22 years later, if I remember the math correctly, and he's standing in front of his brothers and saying, "Guys, don't worry about it. It wasn't you that sent me here." I'm sure 22 years ago when he was sold into slavery, he probably had a few choice words going through his mind for his brothers, right? Like, what in the world? Why are you doing this? There's so much pain in my life. But sometimes, as we separate from those deep wounds, we start seeing things with clarity. And there in his life, he started seeing things with clarity. And he says, "Guys, it was not you that sent me here. You didn't do it. This was completely God's plan for my life." What a beautiful place of trust that he found in his relationship with God. Let me ask you, have you found that beautiful place of trust in your relationship with God, that no matter what life throws at you, no matter what betrayals even you might face, you say, "You know what? God's on the throne, and I trust him, and I know he's got a plan right now in all the details of my life." What a beautiful place that he found himself in his relationship with the Lord. 22 years of hostility, distrust, separation, they reunited. And the negativity is gone, right? There's freedom in that relationship. Joseph was able to forgive his brothers because he trusted God was in control of his life, not them. Although they intended to harm him, God used it for good. They intended to destroy him, but God said, "I've got a plan in the midst of all of this that's happening right now to save Joseph's family and ultimately to preserve the lineage through which the Messiah, the son, the Savior of the world, would eventually come." God saved this family, and as a result, Jesus ended up coming through that lineage, right? A beautiful part of God's redemptive story that was at work even in the midst of betrayal. Joseph truly believed that God was leading his life, managing everything for good. He trusted that God was in control. Do you trust that God is in control in your life and in the situations you're facing? Trust that God has your best interests at heart and depend on Him to turn even hurtful events into great blessings. The Bible declares in Ephesians 1:11 that God makes everything work out according to His plan. How about Psalm 37:23? I love this verse. Psalm 37:23, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. God delights in every detail of your life. He guides your steps day by day. Steps are not huge leaps, you know, forward in our lives. They're just that one little step at a time. You know, the Lord looks at them and He likes the steps that we're making as we continue to follow in step with Almighty God. And that's what I need to declare to you today, is that we can't just say, God, here's the next step. You know, in my life, I feel You leading me to go down this road in my life, but it's against God's word. Guess what? That's not God leading you. That's your flesh leading you. You need to make sure the steps that you're making are in alignment with God's holy word in your life. That's what we're called to do as men and women of God, to order our steps and to guide our steps through God's word. But let me tell you that the Lord directs your steps. A step is a small distance that's covered one step at a time. They refer to those small movements in our lives. Sometimes we want things to go a whole lot quicker in life. We want God to answer that prayer so much faster in life than what He does. But let me tell you, it's one small step at a time as we continue to follow after God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Spiritual progress even can be slow. How many have found spiritual progress to be slow in your life? You're like, man, I thought I'd be much more mature in my relationship with God by now. Right? Hopefully you're not looking at your life and saying, I've arrived. Right? That's a whole other sermon for another time. If you think you've arrived spiritually, there's some pride in your heart that needs to be worked out. So get on your face before God, because you're showing an issue of pride right now in your walk with God. But that, again, we'll talk about that some other time. I don't even know what I was talking about now. Right? We need to continue to grow in our relationship with God. Spiritual progress can be slow. We often desire to see a final outcome from the start, but only God has that knowledge. Typically, He guides us gradually, one step at a time. And that's what God does. What I've seen in my life, typically it's one step at a time that we continue to be faithful to our God. We continue to be obedient to our God, one small step at a time. If we want to grow in our relationship with God, it takes time, and it takes being faithful and consistent in the little areas of your life. That time where you wake up and you say, oh man, I'm late. I don't have time to open God's word today. Well, shame on us. We better find time somewhere in that day to open God's word, because that's a small step. It might seem insignificant at the moment, but those small steps will help us to grow into maturity in our relationship with God. The small steps of obedience that God says, hey, stop going down that road. Stop talking to that person, because that's destructive to your relationship with me, right? There's things that God leads us time and time again, and we need to obey and respond with obedience in our lives. Joseph's story reminds us that even in the betrayal, the setbacks, the suffering, God is guiding each step with a greater purpose. We know that He leads us and guides us daily. And while we may not understand every step along the journey, we know that we can trust in God, because He's a good God and He's guiding and directing our lives. Remember Joseph's words. So it was God who sent me here, not you. No matter what it is, I challenge you to start looking at life and say, God is working in my situation in ways that I might not totally comprehend or understand. The last point today, trust overcomes when we know that God is working for His glory and for our good. God is working for His glory first and foremost, right? God's working. All things work together for good, right? You know, He's working for our good. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. God is working. Does that mean all things are good? No, that's the answer. All things aren't good. There's some pretty miserable things we walk through in our lives. Joseph, in the midst of being in the pit as he's about to be sold as a slave, later ending up in prison, he's probably like, man, that's not good, right? But I know that God is working together a plan that is good, and I'm going to trust him no matter what I'm walking through right now in my life. And so he looked at those situations and he said, you know what, I can trust in my God. Again, it's not only the good things, it's all events, including those hurtful words or betrayals by close friends and people. God works them for good. God's purpose is not that all things are good, but that all things are working together for good, for his glory and for our transformation. I'm sure Joseph grew a whole lot while he was sitting in that pit, while he was sold as a slave, and while he was sitting in prison, and even in the leadership that he was in, right? All those different steps along his journey, I'm sure he was learning to trust in God and learning to grow in his relationship with Almighty God. And in our lives, every season of our lives, we should be saying, God, what do you want to show me? God, what do you want to reveal to me? God, what is going on right now in my life? I don't understand it, but God, I'm going to trust you no matter what, because you're doing something inside of me. You're transforming my heart, you're transforming my life in the midst of this pain, in the midst of this problem. Remember, the famine prompted Joseph's brothers to travel to Egypt, search for food. They appeared before Joseph. They didn't recognize him. You remember how Joseph sent them back to retrieve their dad, said, hey, go get dad and bring him back. And then he established them for a long time in that area. That's how they ended up in Egypt, right? You know, that whole story of coming to Egypt. And then later on, you know, we have Moses and all those things that took place. But here they are coming to Egypt as a result of Joseph being there and as a result of the famine and getting food. And so Joseph's, here he is, you know, he's meeting their needs. And then guess what happened? Another pivotal moment in this story. Dad died. How many know sometimes in life, I've done enough funerals to know that sometimes those moments shake families, right? I don't know what it is about funerals, but sometimes it just shakes families and maybe even destroys relationships because there's all sorts of things going on in the midst of that grief that they're going through, right? We need to be very careful, you know, in those moments of heavy grief, you know, on how we're walking and how we're talking and all those things, because, man, I've seen some major pain come out of those moments. And sometimes, you know, you're standing there and you're talking with a family and the family's saying, I have no idea how we're going to keep going as a family because mom or dad or grandma or grandpa, they were the glue that held everything together. Right? You've probably experienced moments like that, that you're like, I don't know what's going to happen now in my family. So here they are. This goes back all the way to the story of Joseph. The same kind of questions are going on. I'm not going to read all the verses for you today, but over in chapter 50, you know, here the dad passes away and the family is there and they're talking and they're saying, what in the world is going to happen now? Right? In the story, a loyal group of brothers and who have remained faithful to their father find themselves on the verge of falling apart. They realize without dad's presence to keep things under control, maybe old conflicts and old resentments will start to resurface in their relationship. The brothers openly express their fears to Joseph, saying, Joseph, now that dad's dead and buried, right, we're worried. We fear that you might seek revenge now that dad's not there to hold you back, right? There's fear going on in their lives, and they held on to this the whole time that dad's been alive, but now dad's gone, and they don't know how to handle what might happen next within their family. They said, we're scared, Joseph, that things will turn harsh now that dad isn't there to keep you in check. Their fear was overwhelming. Their guilt of past actions still affected how they saw Joseph. But just listen to the response they received. Genesis chapter 50, 19 and 20 says, but Joseph replied, don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so that I could save the lives of so many people. Do not be afraid, or no, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children. So he reassured them by speaking kindly to them. What a powerful passage in God's Word. You know, fears were being elevated in their lives, and they look at their brother and say, what's going to happen now? Are you going to destroy us? Are you going to send us out to pasture? What's going to happen now? And Joseph says, you wanted to harm me, but God intended it all for good. What a level of trust Joseph had in his life. Would you be so gracious in that moment? I don't know. Brother sold you as a slave. You went through all sorts of problems and issues in life. And you're standing there in that moment. You have the power to destroy them. But he says, you know what? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for his good. What an extreme level of trust. That challenges me in my trust with God. I don't know about you, but it challenges me. Where he says, you know what? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. That phrase, but God, right, is one of those phrases that's approximately 43 times throughout God's Word. It carries a powerful message. You know, to every one of us today, these two words change how Joseph viewed his life. Instead of blaming his brothers, he trusted in God. Rather than reacting to evil with negativity, he trusted God and saw the good that God was doing in the midst of all that was going on. Those two words, but God, stands in a stark contrast to the negative noise of the world. What would the world want to do to those brothers in that moment, right? I'm going to seek revenge. Now that dad's not here to be disappointed with me, I'm taking these suckers out, right? You know, but God, he said, there's something going on here that's bigger than all of what we can understand. But God proclaims victory. Conquers the highest mountain, crosses the deepest valley, rejoices in songs of victory through the midnight hour. It's courageous, it's confident, and it's certain. That kind of faith, that kind of trust in God can transform your outlook on everything. Too often we view situations through our limited perspective, and we see failure. But God urges us to see them as he does. I encourage you to put on your kingdom glasses as part of the kingdom of God today and view circumstances from God's viewpoint. What does God see in the midst of what's going on right now in my life? Remember that it's not over until God says it's over. No matter what you're going through, it's not over until God says it's over. The Bible contains numerous examples where the enemy is defeated and bewildered. It tells of his intricate plans failing because he overlooks that God ultimately prevails in every situation. The devil strives tirelessly to perfect his schemes, but just when he thinks he's won, he's interrupted by the words, but God has a better plan in this situation. Joseph might have said to his brothers, my brothers, my own flesh and blood have betrayed me, have sold me as a slave. My master's wife falsely accused me, causing me to fall out of favor and land in jail. The chief cupbearer who I helped betrayed me and didn't think about me as quickly as he should have. But to most, it would seem pretty grim, the outlook on life that he was going through. But Joseph understood that regardless of what had happened, God was not done with the story yet. This is the attitude we need to have. That is the attitude we need to have in the church today. We need to realize no matter how hard things are, no matter how grim situations look in our lives, God still is moving and God is still working. Challenge you, get your eyes off of the storm and off of your problems and on the goodness of your God this morning. Satan says you can't make it on your own, but God says if God is for us, who could be against us? Satan might say, hold on to your problems, for no one can help you, but God says, cast all your cares on me. Satan might say, your enemies have you surrounded, but God says, I'll make your enemies a footstool. Satan says, sickness will follow you, but God says, by his stripes we are healed. Satan might look at you and say, I will make you a slave to sin. But God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loves us so much. Satan says, I'll take your son and I'll put him in the grave and he'll be gone, right? Is what he said to God. But God says, after 3 days, he will rise again victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Our God is a good God. Ignore the lies and negative words of the enemy. Remember that God has the final say in what matters. View situations through your Father's eyes. Satan may claim defeat, but God declares victory. Satan may promote disease, but God offers healing. Satan advocates hate, but God teaches love. Satan advocates destruction, but God promises restoration. Satan promotes division, but God calls for unity. So I challenge you today, as we get ready to close, I want you to think about the goodness of our God today. The God that we can trust no matter what. Reasons you can trust in God no matter what. The first one is God is faithful. Our God is faithful. You know, in the midst of your problems, that's what you need to start declaring. Instead of looking at your problems and saying, God, move in this problem. We need to say, God, you are so faithful. It doesn't matter what storm I'm going through right now. I know I can trust in you because you are a faithful God. He always keeps his promises. Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God, the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. Even when life is uncertain, God's promises never fail. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. He's in complete control. Amen? God is sovereign. He knows what's going on right now in your life and in your world. The Lord has made the heavens his throne, for there he rules over everything, is what God's word says. In the heavens, right? The Lord's made, The Lord made the heavens his throne, for from there he rules over everything. He is in charge. He is sovereign today. Our God is a sovereign God. His plans are higher than yours. You can't figure out God. God is a good God. He's on the throne, and you can't figure all those things out. Isaiah 55:8, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. Our God is thinking at a bigger and a deeper capacity than we ever could in our lives. Our God's on the throne. He's wiser than you are. Quit trying to figure out all the ways that God's working right now and just trust in him. God is your refuge in trouble. If you're in trouble today, run to God. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. Psalm 46:1-2. God is your refuge and God is your strength. Run to him in your life. Another thing, God loves us more than we could ever imagine. Romans 8:32, since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Our God is a good God and loves you more than you could ever imagine. I challenge you today, if you're having a difficult time trusting God in the midst of the storm that you're facing, I challenge you to start worshiping your God because he is such a good, powerful, sovereign, powerful God that is on the throne and we can trust him no matter what. You may be feeling today that you're caught between your own understanding and what God is doing. We all find those moments in our lives where we're caught between our own understanding and what God is doing. Perhaps life has been confusing recently. Has life been confusing recently to you? In my life, I won't go through details, but life has been confusing. In my personal world, not here at the church. Man, life can be so confusing. In the midst of all the confusion that we might be facing in our lives, we know that we can trust in God. Here's the truth. You don't have to understand all that God's doing to trust in Him. You don't have to understand all that God's doing in order to trust in Him. I challenge you today, if you're in a place like me, right, that's struggling a little bit, maybe with some confusion, maybe with some stuff going on in your world, you can trust God no matter what. He's a good God. You don't have to understand all the details to trust God. You don't have to see the whole picture to know that God is good. You don't have to be strong to walk by faith. You just have to surrender to your Heavenly Father. God's not calling you to have it all figured out. He's calling you to follow His lead and to trust that He is working all things for His glory and for His good. Why don't we stand up in this place today? Worship team, you can come forward. I don't know where you are in your walk with God right now. I don't know what's happening in your world. You know, this sermon is something I needed to hear today. Thanks for listening. We need to trust in God no matter what. No matter what storms you might be walking through right now, no matter what might be spoken to you, no matter what that diagnosis might be, no matter how dire the situation might look, our God is a good God. Our God is a faithful God. Our God is a sovereign God. It doesn't mean everything we walk through feels good and it's like, oh, that was so good, you know. I declared bankruptcy. Well, wasn't that good? You know, it doesn't mean, and that's not what happened in my life. If you're like, did he just say that? No, I didn't declare bankruptcy. Now everyone's like, what's happening in Pastor's world? We serve a God that's a good God. No matter what might be happening in your life, our God is a good God. So this morning, we're just going to close simply by just worshiping our King and worshiping our Lord. And so I challenge you today, let's get our eyes off of that problem. Let's get our eyes off of that storm for the next couple of minutes. And let's get our eyes on our King and on our Lord and say, God, You are a good God. God, I can trust You no matter what. God, You are a faithful God. God, Your ways are higher than my ways. God, I will trust You in all things. God, I will look to You right now, and I know that You love me, and I know that I can run to You, and You are my refuge, and You are my strength in the midst of what I'm walking through right now. So this morning, as we close, that's just simply what we're going to do. We're just going to worship our King and declare His goodness, declare His greatness, and say, God, we trust in You no matter what. If you want to come find a place of prayer, you're welcome to do that. These altars are open, but I just challenge you right now. Let's lift our eyes and declare the goodness of our King and the goodness of our God here in this moment together today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. In His Now in all details of our lives, God, we turn to you and say, God, we give it into your hands. You're a good God, Lord, and we just ask right now that you would just continue to help us, Lord, to keep our focus and our attention and our eyes fixed on you, because you are a faithful God. Lord, you are a sovereign God. You are a God who thinks in ways that we will never imagine and we could ever comprehend. God, you are our refuge, and God, we run to you right now. And Lord, we know that you love us more than we could ever imagine. And right now, God, we just look to you and say, God, we need you to move in our lives. And Lord, just continue to help us, Lord, to grow in our trust in you. In every detail, in every situation, God, that we will trust in you. And God, just thank you, Lord, that you we serve such a powerful God in our lives. God, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for your presence here today. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives, in our church. We thank you for those guests that joined with us today. And God, I pray that you'd walk with us with your anointing, your strength, and your power this week. Help us to do great things for you. God, we love you and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. I love you guys. Hope you have a great rest of the or a great week. If you are a guest here today, we'd invite you to come through these side doors. Just meet our Guest Connect team and just let us say thank you and for coming and just greet you today. We're just so honored that you are here with us. God bless. Have a great week.